And good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. We're at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. Of course, our great partners here, they're open for lunch. Sports bar's open. They have the televisions on. And, of course, the big game that my first guest here in a little bit will be watching with intrigue, Alabama. Oh, let me tell you about the Crimson Tide Roll Tide. They're in Texas taking on the Longhorns. That will be a big one. Of course, Michigan is home again today at tonight, a night kick against Hawaii. And so they'll have all that good stuff on. The Irish play Marshall, by the way, at in South Bend. Got to get that in there. But they'll have all the good stuff you can handle, of course, on the televisions here in the sports bar. The dining room's open, and they're open until 11 p.m. tonight. So stop on by. Applebee's, as always, are, of course, great partners here with Coach's Corner. And on the show today, we have a full show of great guests, including our good friend and partner as well, as far as a sports broadcast partner, and that is Scotty Nason, the voice of the Sioux Eagles over on News Talk 1400 and the game as well on Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. We'll talk to Scotty about all kinds of local sports and beyond that, and maybe hit some regional national stuff as well with Scotty coming up. Second half of the show, we'll talk Sioux Flag Football League. They have their division, they have their championships coming up Wednesday, of course, for the Little Tykes. They do a great job with that. My nephew's involved in that, and they have their championships coming up this week. We're going to talk to the coaches involved with that coming up, and really a great thing. You have kids from all over the EUP in that league. They run it, of course, at the Van Sitters Field, and Coach Byron and company, Coach Kipper, will be on hand, and we'll talk to those folks coming up with the Sioux Football League a little bit later on. All that this week in high school sports, what's on deck, and much more. But first, to the scores that matter from last night. Sioux High football runs past arch rival Sheboygan last night, 35-8. River Rakigam, who is becoming one of the top running backs in all of Northern Michigan in the Upper Peninsula, what he's done the first 3 weeks, four touchdown runs, including an 80-yard run, and that wasn't even his longest one of the year. Of course, he had the 95-yard scamper against Escanaba, and he also had three other touchdown runs last night. Blue Devils are really getting strong. They're 3-0 on the campaign. Sheboygan falls to 1-2. Sioux High wins it 35-8, and they'll take on Superior Heights of Sioux, Ontario next Saturday at 3. Scotty Nason and Ryan Wolin will have that call for you, and we'll have more about that and preview that a little bit later on. Elsewhere last night, the surprise, I think, of the early season in the Eastern UP, I've been talking to folks at my main job about this, that work, that live down in the Straits area, and they're like, well, we'll see. We're not convinced yet. They're convincing people now. St. Ignace knocks off Frankfurt on the road, and they blank them last night as they win that game. St. Ignace Saints, as they get to 3-0, 27-0. They just shut the door on them. That's a tough place to play. And tell you what, the Saints are making believers now as they are 3-0. A lot of talk of getting close to 8-man football. The numbers are low, but I'll tell you what, if this is their last year in 11-man, they're going out on a curtain call, because so far they're looking good. 27-0 win there for St. Ignace over Frankfurt. Cedarville Detour, a sneaky good team in 8-man, 52-18. They win at Bear Lake, and they're 3-0. Newberry squeaks by Rudyard, 38-31. Pickford slams Brimley, 48-14. Game cut short as the Bays had injuries and ran short on players. And Pickford wins that going away, 48-14 in B-Town. Escanaba, here's one, slips by Petoskey for their first win of the year. 33-30 win there for the Eskimos. And in Northern Football Conference play in the Legends Division, Kingsley 10 better than Ogama Heights, 30-20. Traverse City St. Francis takes their opponent Benzie Central at Benzonia, back behind the woodshed, 49-12. Boyne City Ramblers, very strong. They drill Grayling at home, 34-6. Mount Pleasant, and perhaps the game of the night in the Northern Lower Peninsula, back and forth battle with Cadillac. They win at Memorial Stadium in Cadillac, 27-24. Oilers, very good. That was a little bit of a surprise, because they thumped Midland the week before. They have a very good running back. Cadillac made a game of it, but the Oilers win 27-24. How about Gladstone? The Braves down Menominee on the road, 28-6. Nate Young is a highlight reel, their quarterback, and the Braves are 3-0. Wausau West, Wisconsin, 34-14 over Kingsford. Nagani buries Hancock, 47-8. Iron Mountain controls Houghton in action last night, 28-6. Lance blanks Gwynn, 12-0. Calumet edges Ishpeming Westwood in action last night. as well, 18-16. North Central throttles Gogebic and Powers through 63-6. Norway downs Lake Linden Hubble 40-26. And Stevenson shuts out Ironwood 22-0. On the ice we go. NOJHL season opened up last night, and the Sioux Eagles get a win to start the season against their rivals in to start the 22-23 campaign. 4-1 win over the Thunderbirds, and they had four different goal scorers in that one. Logan Raphael, the former Sioux High Blue Devil, gets the win in the net. 29 saves for him in his first NOJHL win with the Eagles. Thunderbirds outshot the Eagles 30-29. Eagles are at Blind River tonight, 7. Home opener is Friday at the Polar Stadium against Elliott Lake with Scotty Nason on News Talk 1400. And the Thunderbirds tonight, they'll host Elliott Lake at 7 o'clock. Around the NOJ from last night, Timmins pounds Kirkland Lake 8-2. Greater Sudbury 5-4 over Hearst. Espanola Paper Kings crinkle Cochrane. And that's for the late Johnny Bell, the king of play on words. As he, David, that's a good one. And that was a win last night again for Espanola as they knock off Cochrane in action last night. And a nice win for them as they win that hockey game in NOJHL play. Tier 1 showcase in AAA hockey going on. Tough start for the Sioux AAA Indians Hockey Club. Indians fall the Oakland Grizzlies yesterday 6-0, and then they lost 6-0 again this morning to Little Caesars. They will take on the Chicago Mission tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. They'll return home next weekend, hosting Oakland for a pair of games Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning. OHL exhibition play. Greyhounds host Saginaw 7:07 at the GFL Memorial Gardens tonight. Around preseason O last night, it was Hounds losing at Saginaw 9-3. Niagara thumps Erie 7-2. London 3-1 win past Sarnia. Windsor upends Flint 5-2. Oshawa in overtime past Guelph 4-3. And Barrie tops Kitchener 6-2. Lake Superior State Volleyball hosted Saginaw Valley State at the Bud Cooper Gym last night. Cardinals win that match 3-0. Emily McDaniel and Mariana Velasquez, they had 11 kills each for the Lakers. They'll host Purdue Northwest 3 o'clock today at the Coop. Lake State Cross Country is at the Helsing Invitational, hosted by Ferris State at the Katke Golf Course in the Big Rapids area. Those are the scores that matter when we return to Coach's Corner and Applebee's. Our good friend Scott Nason is here. We'll chat with Scotty when we return. This is Coach's Corner at 11:12. Back in 2 minutes on 1230 WSOO. Welcome back here to Coach's Corner at 11:15. Thought it was a good time to have our good pal and, of course, fill in for Coach's Corner here at Scott Nason, because Scott's going to host next week here at Applebee's as I'll be out of town. And he's got a busy day and a triple header he's going to do. Sioux High football for me later in the afternoon, and it has his own Sioux Eagles hockey game. Of course, the voice of the Sioux Eagles on hockey TV, along with News Talk 1400, our sister station, and also hosts the game on Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. here as well in Sault Ste. Marie, and we'll get into all that in a moment. But first, we say good morning to Scotty. Thanks for stopping by. Good to have you on, friend.
Dave, always a pleasure to be on Coach's Corner with you. Thanks for the invite. And, we are well into the fall sports season and a normal sports season. It's been a few years since we've had a normal sports season, and certainly lots going on right now.
We got a little bit more normal last week, last year, a few hiccups, but yeah, you're right. We're more, I think, in the clear than we have been all the way back to pre-COVID. I think it's good to see. Now, of course, fall sports is up and running. Start with football, and your impressions on high school football so far, and of course, the team we cover here on Radio Sioux. They're the ones really clicking right along. You think of any of the EUP teams, them and St. Ignace, with the surprise, as I mentioned, in the scores that matter. But I'll tell you what, Scott, this team is getting stronger and stronger, and a big 35-8 win on a beautiful night last night. Great crowd. They honored 9/11 folks. Of course, you're a veteran. You would have enjoyed it. Natalie Cahill at halftime, a 90-some-year-old veteran.
Yeah.
And you couldn't take that smile off his face and his family's face with a blowtorch. Great job by the Sioux High Athletic Department, everybody involved, the Booster Club. Nick Hike helped, put a big flag up just by the scoreboard. They had fireworks at the end of the game on the practice field that went off for the Blue Devils' win on a beautiful, clear night. That was a nice touch, and mainly a nice win and a defiant win against your rival in 35-8. They left no doubt last night, and Sioux High's had slow starts the first couple games. They didn't have one last night, and that brought a smile, I think, to Coach Menard and the coaching staff's faces. But I'll tell you what, Scott, you'll see them next week. They're rolling.
They are rolling. And, you know, there were some questions coming into the season as far as, obviously, a quarterback filling in for Jake Davey, and Callan Campbell has shown that he has filled in and then some. You know, what impresses me most about Suhai, Dave, not seeing them a lot, but just following them is their defense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at that Escanaba game, they gave up a few points in the first half. Since then, they, what, gave up 7 points against Grayling last week? They give up just 8 last night. That certainly has to be something that Coach Menard and the entire staff has to be real happy with that defense. And then their line play. You know, you talked about Matt Johnson and what he brings to that team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a line coach, and that line has done well, and certainly their running backs have done well. You know, some of the longest runs that we've seen in Suhai football history. You know, you looked at the schedule, Dave, that first game against Escanaba, to me, was key. You know, they had to get that win. Mm-hmm. And the way they got that win, you know, just pounding the ball, just running the ball. You know, they're going to probably have to finish 7-2, in my opinion, to make the playoffs. Their schedule has improved, you know, adding Petoskey and some other teams. But this team, they're deep, and they're clicking on all cylinders, and they have a very good chance to get into the playoffs, I think, this year.
Well, in this new playoff system, they got stung by it last year, 6-3, and it kind of crept up on them, because the year before they went to, everybody made it because of COVID, and then they already had it in line to go to this new playoff system that's predicated on strength of schedule and things of that nature. You get more points to a bigger school you play. Well, the trouble with Suhai, they don't have many teams that are bigger than them on their schedule or equal because of the conference they're in. It wasn't a problem in the past because of the 6 wins and you're in, but now they kind of were caught in that vortex last year, and they're figuring it out. Obviously, they have adjusted it. They added Escanaba this year. That was huge. That's a Division IV school that's not that much bigger than them. And then you have, or smaller than them, I should say. And then you have Petoskey. Those are the two big games, I think. They have to win those games. I said that on the air last night. They have to beat Petoskey. They took care of Escanaba, and they have to keep going and winning as much as they can. And, you know, you get to Kingsley and Traverse City, St. Francis, you see what happens. But I think you're right. You got to go 7-2, or 8-1 would be even better. But if you beat Petoskey, with the way it is, that you're definitely in. I mean, there's no question. You know, I think that they're in, because those would be big points. Next week, if they hold serve, those are big points, because Superior Heights is a bigger school.
Right.
You can't have a hiccup at Ogama Heights. It's just unaffordable. You know, rather in other years, you could afford it, and they know that. And the kids are having fun. The coaches are doing a great job. And the other thing I'm liking is adjustments in the game. Second half adjustments have been great. Intangibles like the turnover margin. You mentioned the defense. They've been led by turnover margin. Carter Oshelski, 73-yard pick six in the first game. That was a backbreaker. They
in
had
his
a,
first game.
In his first game in a couple years.
Right.
And then you had the Sebastian Salcido last week have one, and he had an interception that turned the game around against Grayling early in the third quarter. This week, in what was a tight game at halftime, Scotty, they get the opening kickoff in the second half to Suhai. Alex Jasek takes it 60 yards to the 20-yard line of Sheboygan, and that set up a great chance for the Blue Devils and to add to their lead, and then they just took off in the second half, and the defense just wore down Sheboygan. And that was a Sheboygan team coming in that Coach Menard felt, this is the best team we've seen this year. They put up a lot of points. Granted, they had a couple of key injuries, the Ginnup brothers were out, but I'll tell you what, that was the strongest game I've seen Suhai play from start to finish, and like you said, they're looking good.
Yeah, like you said, second half adjustments, and that goes to the coaching staff. You know, Coach Campbell, Coach Menard, Coach Johnson, and others. I mean, those guys have been working together for a long time, and they're really establishing a winning culture with Suhai football. And I would agree with you, Dave. You know, that game against Petoskey is key. Petoskey's 1-2.
Yep.
They lost to Escanaba, who Suhai beat on the road pretty convincingly. So you look at that. Things bode well, but you can't take a week off. You can't take next week off against Superior Heights. You don't know a whole lot about them. I do know that they do have many players that have never played football, and it's been a few years, I believe, since Suhai has played a Sioux Ontario team, so you can't take that one lightly, and then you go to Ogama Heights. And
that's
then,
the one I'm...
Yep, and Ogama Heights, you know, they can sneak up on you, but I think the coaching staff will have Suhai prepared. They seem to have a very focused mentality this year as far as what they have to do, and maybe what happened last year is maybe beneficial this year, yep, because they know you can't slip up with the way the playoff point system is. Right now, Suhai is doing very well in the playoff points. I think they have 44, which is pretty good.
Look at you bringing research to the table.
I did bring in research.
Look at you.
I'm a stats-oriented guy, and certainly when you know a Division III team like Superior Heights, a Division III team like Petoskey, and then playing
analytics, let's not get Joe Madden involved.
Yes, indeed. So things are boding well for Suhai, and then you mentioned, Dave, the other big surprise to me is St. Ignace. You know, been struggling the last few years. 2-7 last year. They're 3-0. They have a big game coming up this upcoming weekend against Gladstone at home. So we'll see what the Saints are made of. But, you know, you look at Johannesburg, Lewiston, and Frankfurt. They're not cupcakes. I mean, they're pretty good.
And Frankfurt on the road.
On the road in a convincing style. So certainly it's good to see St. Ignace back in there. You know, a school that's, you know, over the years had a strong program and struggled recently. I'm excited to see what they can do this year.
I talked to some coworkers. You know, at my main job there from down around the St. Ignace area, and I was like, you know, wow, how about the Saints? And very cautiously optimistic.
Right.
Like, well, you know, Tawa's okay. Joe Berg, they have to be down. And they are really being very temperate in their response. But I think now they're going to start sticking the chest a little more. You went on the road at Frankfurt. And like you said, measuring stick next week. Gladstone looks really good. They're going to have to find a way to contain Nate Young, who is a highlight reel.
Good.
He had a trouble. Suhai had fits with him last year. I think some of the Blue Devil defenders that are back this year are still having nightmares because he just runs all over the place. He's a Johnny Manziel-esque type guy. He just makes things happen. If the play breaks down, it's better for him. So that's going to be a tough, a tall order for the Saints. But hey, 3-0, when there's, of course, you know, whispers and they're getting bigger, that eight-man football is looming down there because of their numbers. That's a fact. This would be a pretty nice way to go out right now when they're 3-0. But they're looking good. And you know, you mentioned that we talked about off the air with Matt Pocket, who's running our board today, that, you know, eight-man football in the EUP, not looking at it as a whole with Munising, but just take the teams we cover in this area, it's kind of more of a flip of a coin. Pickford's back in the pack a little bit. Cedarville Detour sneaking up on some people. Rudyard, I think, is still, you know, right there, can be competitive. Newberry, but it's interesting, a little more you know, evenly matched in eight-man football in this area.
Yeah, we're going to see, I think, maybe who is the class of the EUP in eight-man next week when Cedarville goes to Newberry. Because Cedarville's 3-0, but you know, they haven't really played anybody. They played Bear Lake, Engadine, and Superior Central. Not real strong programs, but I think you could make a case for four teams. I mean, you know, Rudyard going to the semifinals last year. I know they did lose, obviously, a lot with E.J. Suggett and others on that team. A slow start by their standards, 1-2.
They pushed Newberry good last
night.
By seven.
Yep. So I think you make a case for you know Pickford, Rudyard. We'll see about Cedarville Detour, how they do against Newberry, and then Newberry. They're good. They played Munising pretty tough. So I don't know if there's going to be a deep run by any team, but in eight-man football, you never know. I think crazy things can happen.
And Matt has a tasty game next week in Rudyard over on Country 105, Pickford-Rudyard.
Yep.
That will be a good game, I think, very evenly matched there. You look on beyond, and Matt mentioned off the air, Munising, a veteran team. They're definitely head and shoulders, I think, all the way across the UP. I think you know, North Central's going to be there. Crystal Falls Forest Park sounds like they're improved, but Munising looks like they're the top team if you look beyond and looking towards the postseason.
Yeah, Munising certainly, again, another traditionally good program. Haven't been in eight-man football for that long, but yeah, they seem to be the best team in eight-man football right now, but we'll see. Yeah, two big games, Cedarville-Newberry and Pickford-Rudyard next week.
Turning to the ice as we talk to the voice of the Sioux Eagles, Scott Nason. And, of course, the host of the game on Monday nights. Eagles open up play last night, and good start. Local kid gets the win in the net, former Blue Devil Logan Raphael. And anytime he can beat those hated Thunderbirds, one of the great rivalries, of course, the border clash over in Sioux, Ontario, 4-1 win. Nice win for the Eagles last night to open up the campaign.
Good start to the season. Last weekend they went up to Thunder Bay and did well in some exhibition matches against Cam River. Excuse me, winning two of the three matches, and you know, last night, 4-1 win at the Sioux Thunderbirds. And, you know, I talked to Bruno Braganolo a couple weeks ago on the game. Very optimistic, certainly very happy that he doesn't have to play 2 months on the road like they did last year. Ooh. You know, you're going to have home games at Polar Stadium this upcoming weekend, which will be very nice to have hockey locally at the Polar in September rather than wait until November and December. But, yeah, this team, you know, they're fast. They bring back a lot of returning players from last year. Goaltending, Logan Raphael, the Sioux High native, will get the majority of the starts, I believe. But this is going to be a good team, and they're going to be very competitive, I think, in the NLJHL this season. They're always competitive in the NLJHL. The Sioux Thunderbirds, you know, slow start by their standards. But, you know, come the end of the season, they're going to be rolling. Sudbury, you know, they have a strong program coming back. So this is going to be a fun Sioux Eagles team to watch, and certainly we'll see them a lot more this year at Polar Stadium, and I'm looking forward to that.
You'll have the home opener coming up on Friday over on News Talk 1400 about 7:15. You got Rob with you again this year?
Got Rob. I'm not sure
Rob
about
Horn.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Larry's status. Actually, I was talking to Rob last night, and he was wondering where Mr. Pazabon is, but we'll reach out to him. But yeah, Rob Horn will be doing the call with me this year and over on News Talk 1400.
The multi-talented Rob Horn also videoing the game for the hockey TV cameras. He could do it all.
I couldn't video and broadcast at the same time. Well, I don't know how he does.
Can't walk and chew gum, let alone that.
That's right. And, you know, last year at Polar Stadium, you know, very good crowds. I would expect we'll have the same this year. You know, the Sioux Eagles organization, you know, has been around for over 10 years. I think about this is their 12th or 13th season. They've been around a long time. And certainly they try to tie themselves to the community as much as they can, you know, doing various events. But watching them on the ice, it's a lot of fun. I like junior hockey. I've always been a big junior hockey fan. And this team has a lot of talent. And I think expectations should be high for Sioux Eagles fans.
Well, you know, and they have been very solid all the way across. We've talked about what they do in the community, and Sioux High starting to really do that with Pat Bennett and his athletic office. Last night was electric at the Van Sitters Field, and hell, you know, number one, you got to win.
Yep.
I mean, and
always
and,
helps.
And that's number one. And you win, or you're fun to watch. People will come out, and they will just word of mouth travels. But you look at what you know, the Sioux Eagles do in the community, and they've really cemented their place in this community, and really, you know, a lot of them are guys that are at the head of the organization. Not talking about head coach Doug LaPrade, or he's pretty much an adopted local now, I think, at
pretty
this
much,
point.
Yeah.
But, you know, what Bruno has done, and Ron Lav and the owner, just they get it. And we've talked about this several times, but, you know, that's a big thing, you know. And it's just glad to see Eagles hockey doing well, and it's always a good thing when they come back, because it's just another sport for us to have, and, of course, a hockey town as well. But and you have fun doing the games, and, of course, it's just great to have a host team, a team playing in the venerable Polar Stadium.
And I was just going to say that, Dave, just having those games at the Polar on a weekend. And, you know, this is a small town. You know, we're not a big area.
No.
And the more teams like Sioux High's doing, and Lake State, you know, they do it as well. And the Sioux Eagles do it very well, is, you know, connecting yourself to the community.
Sioux Indians,
absolutely. Yeah, Sioux Indians are off and running this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And as the sports season gets very busy for you and I, sir.
It does. It certainly gets busy. And also, of course, you have the game on Monday nights, 6 to 8 p.m., Sioux St. Marie's only local, regional, national sports show. And, of course, you're clicking along on that. And talk a little bit about the game and what's coming up Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night we'll have the game. We were off last week because of Labor Day, 6 to 8 o'clock over on News Talk 1400. We'll have our good friend Dave McKeag Jr. from Sioux, Ontario.
Scotty,
yes,
my good friend.
Yes, who still believes the Toronto Blue Jays will win the World Series and still believes the Maple Leafs will win the Stanley Cup next year, because that's Dave, along with Butch Davis from
Keep
Butch
on dreaming, my friend.
Butch on Sports. And we're looking to get some guests from the Sioux Eagles coming in on Monday. Again, their home opener next Friday and Saturday night at Polar Stadium, Elliott Lake on Friday, French River on Saturday. So you can hear all about it on the game Monday night.
Monday night, it's the game over on News Talk 1400, Sioux Eagles hockey, of course. And all the home games can be heard on News Talk 1400 of Eagles hockey. Scotty's the voice on that, also on Hockey TV, as for the video portion of those games. But he's, of course, the voice as far as on News Talk 1400 for all the home games on your home of Sioux Eagles hockey over at News Talk 1400. He'll have the home opener 7:15 on Friday with that, with Rob Horn over on News Talk 1400. Scotty, as always, thanks for stopping by here on Coach's Corner, and you're in for me in my chair next week.
Yes, indeed, and we'll look to get some good guests on there and keep the local sports rolling. Always a pleasure to be on the corner, Dave.
Always a pleasure to have you on, and thanks again for filling in when I step away for a day, and you're making it a busy day. You have Blue Devil football in the afternoon, then you'll close it off with the Eagles as well that night, and we certainly appreciate you stopping by and helping myself out as well.
Anytime, sir.
All right, that is Scott Nason, of course, our good friend, the voice of Sioux Eagles hockey and the host of the game over on News Talk 1400. We will take a two-minute break, and then this week in high school sports is looming. We'll talk Sioux Flag Football League coming up as well, all on Coach's Corner at Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner at 1141 here at Applebee's in the sports bar. Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. We're joined by a couple gentlemen with the Sioux Flag Football League. And Coach Kipper and Coach Cole Byron joins us now. And we thank the guys for coming in. We wanted to get you on. I thought it was a perfect time. You have your championships coming up here, so a perfect time to promote it. And, of course, you got a lot of kids out for flag football, and you've had your games going on. But this is a situation where they have camps and different things going on. We'll have the guys talk about that. But first of all, we say good morning to Coach Kipper and Coach Byron. Thanks, guys, for stopping by and talking flag football with us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about the league. Let Coach Kipper start with that. What are you guys doing down there with the Sioux Football Flag League?
Well, we're just trying to get all the kids out there so they can get out moving, start learning basic, how to play as a team, trying to get their interest arise in that, and just get them out there to socialize.
And the age groups that you deal with, what do they vary in?
It goes from 5 to 10, roughly. Then we divide them up into, we have a younger group of kids, like the 5 and 6-year-olds, and then I believe we have the 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. And so they're in their own age brackets.
Now, it's not just a situation you guys started a couple weeks ago and you have your games. You had a situation in July where you had some Sunday training sessions, and you have some camps, and you go indoors when the weather gets foul, and of course in our non-summer type months that we have. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in the winter times, right after the first of the year, we start looking at the calendar, and I'll talk to Coach Menard and see when I can get the gym, and then we'll start trying to plan. I think last year we had 2 or 3 camps. My son helps me run them, yeah, along with my wife. And then once the weather gets good again in the summer, we get back out on the field, and we try to run at least 3 during the summer. That way, when the kids first get there, because a lot of these kids have never played football at all. And so at least if they can get their hands on a football a couple times in the summer and understand the basics of team sport.
Right. And Cole, I would imagine you just bare knuckles down and just fundamentals and just teaching the kids the basics, of what you got to do. And it's basically, the training wheels on type of philosophy that I use, and you just go from there, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fundamentals and showing them, like, the rough idea of what to do, so when they go higher up, they have that base fundamentals to it.
You guys have great numbers all the way across the board, I believe. You were talking about the amount of parents' involvement has been big. And it's not just, Sault Ste. Marie. You have kids from all over the UP. I was telling the guys that my nephew, John, who's from Brimley, goes to Brimley schools. He's 6 years old. He loves it already and talks about it all the time to me. And he said, I asked him, I said, so what position do you like to play? And he goes, well, he says, I just like getting that flag. I said, oh, okay, you're a defender. So I love it. And he's already, so you got to, someone that's going to be around there for a while. But it just sounds like the enthusiasm's there, and that's what you guys are trying to do here.
Yeah, we're open to the whole UP. I mean, we have parents that drive up from Drummond Island.
Wow.
That come up for it. And then we have a bunch from Rudyard and Pickford. and then Brimley. So we're not just close to the one,
mm-hmm.
you know, because at that level, it doesn't matter where they're from.
Right.
And it is a feeder program to all the youth tackle programs. And so that's kind of what, like my son was saying, we try to teach them the basics of how to hang on to a ball,
mm-hmm.
how to line up, just basics like that.
And Cole, you know, you look at it, you know, I go back to, you know, back in my playing days, back in the mid-90s, you know, I remember they started the Sioux Giants program. I was in junior high. And before it was like, here's your pads and helmet as a freshman. But it's come a long ways. And this is big having that, you know, at that situation where you have the young kids and have them there. That's huge.
Yeah. It's when I went through the program, it was like, I think I went through Flag and then Giants and then so on. But, like, this is a good base just to start them off to see if they like it or not.
Right, and that's the thing. And to try to get the feeder program, like Coach Kipper mentioned, you have these situations where, you know, it's not just, you know, it's called the Sioux Flag Football League, but it's open to the UP, and it's a good development. I don't care where you're from.
Yeah, no, like my dad said, we're open to everyone, and it's just to show the kids that if they're interested in football, that this is what we can give them. We can show them the fundamentals, and they can take it from there.
Coach Kipper, you guys have had a lot of games being played and during the week, and you're coming close to your championships coming up and closing out the season.
Yep. On Sunday at noon, we start our championship tournament where all teams will play. It's kind of just a basic tournament. And then each team will have their own little banquet after it with their own little ceremonies. But then the winning teams will just keep on playing until the end of the night. And so, I mean, it'll be about an eight-hour affair. But
wow.
Everybody's welcome. It's free.
You'll run it right up at the Van Sitters?
Yes. Coach Menard and the athletic director there, they're pretty good in helping me, letting me use that when no one else is.
And that's big, too, you know, getting support, you know, at the higher levels. And you guys have had a lot of support from Sioux High Athletics and the football program up at Sioux High.
The Sioux High coaches has pretty much taught me how to do what I'm doing now. I just do it way more simpler on a way younger level. But, yeah, Coach Menard has really shown and helped me and Cole. In fact, Cole's been coaching Flag longer than me. I think
He
has 2 years on it before I took the program. He was in eighth or seventh grade when he started.
Yeah.
So you have a little more seasoned experience than your dad in that situation. But, you know, Cole, of course, played for Sioux High and was had a lot of success there. And, you know, it seems like you're having a lot of fun with this, Cole, and just keeping it around the game.
Yeah. I originally did because I just wanted to help and show kids. And then once I got out of high school and Flag, it kept me close to the game, so it's all I could ask for.
And, you know, you guys are very visible on Facebook, and I think that's in the social media. Of course, you mentioned your wife.
My wife handles all of that stuff.
And that, you know, and that plays a big role in why you're getting people from, you said, Drummond Island and all over the EUP and getting the great numbers.
Yeah, I got to give her, like, 75% of the credit of the whole program because I'm only there on the field for that 2 hours. I'm like the ringmaster, where she does all the behind the scenes. She made all the shirts this year. She does all of the logistical. Without her, I couldn't do it.
And you have great parent support, and you know, you look at it too, it's funny because you have, you know, all these kids out there, and it takes a special person to be able to you know, with younger kids, because, you know, they're wandering around and their attention spans
are like wrangling cats.
That's a good term to use.
Yeah.
But this year, once again, our parents, we got some great parents this year. I mean, great support, great help. And then I've mentioned the coaches before. This is the most coaches we've had, and they're all a volunteer. I mean, not just Cole, but I have another one, Chase Janetta. He's been there just as long as Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole family. If Chase ain't there, either Mom Janetta or Dad Janetta or even Grandma Janetta ends up coaching that team that day. And so it's a real family, and that's kind of what we're pounding into these, trying to get into these kids, that as a group sport, it's a family.
And I think football, Cole, is more unified to that level than any sport you're going to find, because the amount of people it takes to play an 11-man, if you're in a, you know, on an 11-man team, you, once you get to high school. But it is a more of a unified situation because, you know, it takes a village, as the saying goes.
It does. You have to have that good support around you for everything to work. Like, you need that support.
So you mentioned, you know, you have the camps that you have and all that, Coach Kipper, and you're listening to this and their child is getting close to that age, they would just get a hold of you guys.
Yep,
on
they would just
Facebook
get on that,
or whatever.
On the Facebook, and look out. Probably, like I said, the first part of January we'll be running them. And even if you think your kid is old enough or close, that's the best time to come check. Because they're only there for a couple hours that one day, and it gives them a chance to see if the kid, you know, if that's what he wants to do, or her. Like this year, we have 7 girls playing, which I think is crazy that we keep getting, like last year we had 4. The year before that, it was like 2. And so it's not just for the boys.
It's growing and growing. That's what you want to see. And, you know, we mentioned a little bit, but the numbers you have, I saw, you know, you had some pictures at one of your camps. I mean, there's a lot of kids out in that field, and that's obviously the name of the game.
When we started with the camps 4 years ago, me, my wife, and Cole, and some of the other football players, because Sioux High football, they've always helped. We've had, I don't know, 9 kids at one camp, and now we're up to 70 a camp. And then this year for our actual league, we're just at 100 kids, which is 10 teams of 10 kids. So it's, and I'm hoping next year we hit 120.
So you might have mentioned it, say it again, Cole, just to ask, it might have slipped my mind, but what level are you dealing with as far as, you know, at the age groups yourself?
I'm with the older kids. I've typically been with the older kids just because I want to help build them for, like, that middle school or the Nets program. And I know that they go through good coaches when they're on the little teams, so I know what I'm taking in. So then I'll just show them a little bit more of the fundamentals to get them ready.
You get a little more advanced, you know, with them because, you know, they went through the basics, and now you can get to that next level. And that's obviously a real smart move to do because now they're getting closer to the organized team, middle school level of football. Well, it sounds like you guys are really doing a great job down there with the Sioux football, Sioux Flag Football League. And great job, guys. A lot of hard work going in this. Of course, you have a lot of good people involved, and you guys are certainly anchoring it. And thanks for stopping by and talking to us, educating us a little bit more on it. And again, we'll mention you had the championships coming up next Sunday.
Sunday at noon.
At noon.
Yep.
Free of charge. Come on out
and just watch.
All right, and they'll have it going on all day. Coach Kipper and Coach Cole Byron, a former Blue Devil, thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
All right. That's of course, the Sioux Flag Football League here on Coach's Corner. We will take a 2-minute timeout. What's on deck and the close-up shop is coming up. This is Coach's Corner from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. As we continue here on the corner, I'm Dave Watson. It's time for a What's on Deck here on, of course, our family of radio stations on Sovereign Communications, and what we'll have for sports broadcasts for you, shows and games and all that alike. Take a glance at that, and we start with the Detroit Tigers. They had a nice win last night. Joey Wentz gets the win in his home area. He's from America's Heartland near Kansas City. And, of course, a good showing by Wentz, and the Tigers win that one going away. And now they'll try to get another one at Kansas City. 3:45 of the pregame show on Radio Sioux. And Matt Manning will oppose Jonathan Heasley in the pitching matchup. And, of course, Dan Dickerson has the call around 3:45. First pitch a little bit after 4 o'clock. The game with Scott Nason comes your way on Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. over on News Talk 1400, Sioux St. Marie's only local, regional, and national sports show. Dave McKeag will join in the 6 o'clock hour to chat about what's going on the north side of the St. Marie's. Of course, NOJHL, OHL, NHL, all that stuff with Scott Nason and Dave McKeag. And then co-host Butch on Sports, Butch Davis will join Scotty towards the bottom half of the 6 o'clock hour. He'll stay through 7 p.m. It's the game with Scott Nason and company over on News Talk 1400, Sioux St. Marie's only local, regional, and national sports show, Monday night on News Talk 1400 at 6 to 8 p.m. The EUP game of the week, Friday night over on Country 105, and a tasty game here. 6:45 of the pregame show. Matt Pocket will be on hand. As Matt Pocket will be on hand. I don't know what that was there. The Fox News alert came on there. But Matt Pocket will have the call, and that will be at 6:45 over on Country 105. The Rudyard Bulldogs will take on the Pickford Panthers, and we'll have that call for you over on Country 105. Sioux Eagles hockey in their home opener hosting Elliott Lake on Friday night, 7:15 on News Talk 1400. Friday night with Scotty Nason and Rob Horn at the call. Blue Devil football next Saturday afternoon, home to Superior Heights. Scott Nason will be in for yours truly for that call. Ryan Wolin will join him, and that will be around 2:40-ish or so on Radio Sioux, 1230WSO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Thanks to our guest today, Scott Nason, of course, the voice of the Sioux Eagles and the host of the game over on News Talk 1400, and the good folks from the Sioux Flag Football League in Coach Kipper and Coach Cole Byron for joining us. Coach's Corner returns next Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. till noon. Scott Nason will be guest hosting for yours truly. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Replays of the corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation of 1230 WSOO. For the gang here at Applebee's, for today's broadcast engineer, Matt Pocket, I'm Dave Watson, saying that will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.